All right, welcome to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK rocking with
JD.
The pause.
Yeah, we took down TB in TB.
Oh,
and
man.
CD is all about that action.
All about that action with that grill up in Tom Brady's face, man. That was funny. So.
How wide is that dude's tongue, by the way? His tongue, that shot they had, the slow mo, his tongue is about as wide as a dinner plate, man. Like he's lapping up everything in sight with that thing. That's crazy.
So if you haven't listened to our podcast before, and that's the opening, you're welcome. And secondly, please stick around. We got some awesome Saints takes. Oh man, Justin, listen. The Saints have taken Karen Brady to a whole nother level of Karenism. Like Karen Brady is just sitting there complaining to the refs, screaming at our sideline, you know, yelling at his own players. And this guy couldn't muster 3 points. Just 3 points.
None.
The chance that they got inside of the Saints zone, guess what he did? He tried to run like he was Lamar Jackson and realized that he doesn't run anything faster than a 6.940. And Cam Jordan punched that ball out. So we're obviously jumping into the game recap right away. Couple things that stood out to me. The Saints defense, everybody's talking about the Saints defense. And I'm sure I'll leave you to talk about the Saints defense because there's lots to talk about there. But can we give the offensive line their roses? That offensive line was clean. That offensive line was strong. The front for Tampa Bay is very good. And watching Mills and watching Hurst play that game, and really, they gave Taysom a ton of time, and Taysom actually artificially sped himself up in a lot of plays. They even said it on the telecast. You know, like, all he has to do is step up in the pocket, and he had time. Eric McCoy, his best game of the year. That was Eric McCoy's best game of the year. So between both lines, you have Eric McCoy and Odiemata, the two guys in the middle. They played elite football, and I thought they were a big reason why we won the game. But I'll let you talk about the defense. Go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously the pressure, the pocket collapsing was unlike we've seen from a four-man rush in a very long time. And that's a recipe for success against this guy, obviously, right? You have to get that four-man pressure. We're sending Cam on guards, you know. We're putting stunts out there, like they're switching it up all over the place. Very, very fresh looks that Tom hasn't seen from us yet, and this is game number 5.
Yeah.
So Dennis Allen put together a masterful plan, and the D line held it down so well that we saw, you know, the whatever it is, 2.9 seconds of release time he usually has. He was hanging on to the ball a bit longer, taking sacks. He had happy feet. We had Tom Brady dancing on his own turf. And man, that was a sweet, sweet sight to see, because that gives our secondary a chance to look like they, you know, were doing their job all over the field too, because they had a chance to take away Tom's first look, which then, you know, once they get him in that position, as smart as he is, you know, he's a smart quarterback. It felt like even though they didn't have their top two receivers, we still had a chance to obviously take away, you know, Scotty Miller or Darton, whoever they had out there at whatever point in the game. But like our D-line, man, kudos to those four guys, because they were rolling all night long, and the motor kept getting faster and faster. Like they didn't slow down.
Yeah, like,
Davenport was on fifth gear all night long.
And I also thought a guy that got
an impactful sack.
Yeah.
The big impactful sack he had was huge, and then even guys like Jalen Holmes stepping up, you know, like the guys who are rotating in. Jalen Holmes comes in and has a big, huge run stop.
I shouldn't have interrupted you. I shouldn't have interrupted you. You just said exactly what I was going to say, so yeah, you're on top of it.
Yeah.
I thought our
linebackers.
Sorry, just pause a second.
Our linebackers were, yeah.
I thought Jalen Holmes in the run game was fantastic. I thought really in the run game. I thought he was a game changer in the run game. And Shai Tuttle was fantastic for the entire every snap Shai played was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. So you're done with the linebackers.
Depth we have is showing through too, right? Like the So linebackers, like DeMario, you know, quietish game for DeMario's standards, of course. You know, not his finest out performance, but obviously the leadership there and just calling the right plays when he had to and adjusting as he needed to. Obviously that always shines through with DeMario. You never lose that. And then our secondary, man, did our secondary play fantastic. Paulson Adebo, Marshawn Lattimore, like Marcus Williams, all had
impressive
plays.
Roby.
And Bradley Roby too, yeah, 100%. And the best part is that Tom Brady was so shook after the first pass that he made that in the game when Marshawn almost picked it off. And you knew immediately that was going to set him into a very uncomfortable position all game long. So Marshawn jumping that, or maybe there was a missed throw or whatever the case was, but Marshawn getting in front of that, almost picking it off and letting Tom know that, you know, he's there to play today and it's not going to be easy against him. That was a tone setter, man. That's what we needed to see from Marshawn to start the game off too.
Yeah, it was exactly what you said. It was a tone setter. And I think that, like you had pointed it out, Tom Brady really did have happy feet. So there was nothing that Tom Brady was able to really do without any like real pressure right in his face. So every time he wanted to hold the ball for just a half second longer to let a guy get open, he couldn't. So you saw a lot of plays where Onyemata or Cam were right at Tom Brady's, you know, right at his front doorstep. And Tom had to let that ball go. So it was interesting to watch Tom uncomfortable and then play the game without stars. And the interesting thing is, Tom Brady, I've always argued, Tom Brady is definitely a winner. There's no doubt about it. That will never be any part of my argument against Tom. The argument isn't about him winning. The argument is about his talent. Tom Brady is a quarterback, talent-wise, is not on my top 10 list of all-time quarterbacks. I've got guys like Marino ahead of him, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes. All those guys are way more talented than Tom. And you can see that because those guys can make average players look better. Whereas Tom needs good players to make himself look better. You see what I'm saying? So in that game when they lost Evans and they lost Godwin, Tom just looks like a normal guy.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something to be said there.
For sure. And when you look at like our, obviously in the past, like our UDFAs you brought in who've looked good in the past. Now, even Marquez, you know, if Drew was playing with Marquez, I think Marquez would be a star in the league. You know, like if Drew had him in his prime, is what I'm saying. You know, like he would have made Marquez look great, and he made guys like Traquan look semi decent at the end of his career. And you know, obviously, like without saying, goes like Lance Moore and Marcus Colson, but. But yeah, I know you're right. Like even you look around the league, Aaron Rodgers, he makes, you know, MVS look pretty good, and MVS is pretty average, right? So yeah, Tom doesn't have that knack to make like these mediocre dudes, you know, stand out, become household names like some other guys you can mention are. And obviously having Gronkowski as his, you know, cushion or comfort zone. That's a huge target who's eventually a HOFer, right? Like he has got a HOFer running tight end routes for him. So, yeah, man, I think you're right. Tom Brady is pretty average in terms of like talent without skill around him. So I concur entirely. And then with the running backs he had too, like Leonard Fournette has found a resurgence somehow. Running the ball, scoring, you know, what was it, 7 touchdowns in 3 games the past few weeks. And then even when he got hurt, Ronald Jones running to the outside, you know, bouncing it out was productive.
He did look good. He did look good.
And Tom's been, you know, relying on stables of running backs his whole life in New England too, where they just brought new guys in and they could all produce, and that helped him too. So, yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like Tom Brady, man, average, and especially against the Saints, even looks, dare I say, below average.
I would say piss poor. That's what I would say. When you lose, when you lose four games in a row in the regular season against a team, you're the Atlanta Falcons-esque piss poor. But I will say something that actually surprised me. Leonard Fournette's not even 26 years old. That's crazy. I had no idea he was that young.
That is ludicrous.
Yeah, like, in my mind, Leonard Fournette has played... in my mind, he's played 9 seasons. Like, I feel like he's an old guy.
Yeah, I know.
But he's young.
Like, did he come out of LSU in when he was 20 years old? Is that why? Was he like
I think he came out of 21. I think he was 21 in his rookie year. 21.
He must have been 20, because he played for Jacksonville for 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Because, yeah, he was in Jacksonville when they went up on that playoff run.
Yeah.
And then now he's been at Tampa for 3 years now, right? Yep. So,
yeah,
he's just...
So, this is, let's talk about the future here for a second, okay? And I'm just going to rattle a couple things off, and then I just want to hear your opinion. The first thing is, we've seen the last of Dennis Allen as a New Orleans Saints DC. It's pretty I'm pretty sure he's going to get a head coaching job based on that game last night. Being able to shut Tom Brady out with a division-clinching win in a division game where you know he wanted to win, and to get the defense to play like that with Sean Payton out and a bunch of other bodies out on offense, I think that solidifies his ability to lead a group of men. And there's going to be a team, i.e. the Jacksonville Jaguars, that are probably going to grab Dennis Allen and give him another shot. On top of the Dennis Allen situation, what happens, and this is a two-part question because I want to hear what you have to say about Dennis Allen, what happens when Taysom Hill takes us on a playoff run? Like, I get it. The defense is leading us right now, but at some point in time, he's going to have to play well. And if he plays well in a really big game and in some big moments, makes some big plays and gets a rhythm, because Taysom has yet to find a rhythm. If he finds a rhythm, what do we do at quarterback next year? So first question, Dennis Allen. Second question, what do we do at quarterback?
Yeah, Dennis Allen, I think, is you know, unfortunately, because him and Sean seem to have such a good vibe, and Pete Carmichael, those three guys together, obviously, like, complement each other well, and just hearing Dennis Allen talk about Sean Payton last night shows how much respect there is between all these men who've been around the game for so long, and now each other, too. So seeing Dennis Allen, like, you know, give him that speech and show admiration, and then to leave, obviously, for, you know, for personal, you know, financial reasons, makes sense, but to leave it, that hurts the team, man, because the defense has been so good for his tenure. We also have, like, outstanding players, which, and just a combination of things going well, but Dennis Allen has set the groundwork for anyone who comes in to obviously, if they can follow, you know, even a step behind him, will be in good positioning. And I think, you know, Ryan Nielsen would be the guy that would probably slide into the DC role at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And then as far as Taysom Hill goes, listen, if he can take us to 5 wins and go 10-7 to get that playoff spot. And I was talking to my son yesterday watching the game and talking to you as well throughout the game, but, like, if we can, you know, play defense like that, run the ball properly, like, you know, Tampa Bay is a different beast when you run the ball, but if we can run the ball even, you know, in between how we did against the Jets and how we did against the Bucks, like, middling of those two games, and just make the necessary safe throws, like, we can win these games 17-13 in the playoffs, and we can find a way to get on a run. And then if Taysom is that guy, all of a sudden, very difficult decision to make, because his contract becomes so much more hard to justify, right? That contract is huge once he gets his percentage of snaps. He needs to be considered a quarterback. So then you got to wonder, like, you know, the end of the season, is this, you know, a longevity thing for us, or do we look towards, you know, bringing Jameis back off the ACL, and then also the Russell Wilson talk we've had now too. But I think Sean's, you know, infatuation, if you want to call it that, with Taysom, if he brings him to the playoffs, wins 5 in a row to end the season, And even wins a playoff game. It's going to be hard to not give him that job in September.
I'm going to tell you right now, Justin, and this is just, whether we like to admit it or not, this is our fate. Okay? If Taysom Hill wins 5 in a row, and Taysom Hill wins a playoff game, dare I say 2 playoff games, next year the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints will be Taysom Hill. The backup will be Jameis Winston. There will be a quarterback battle. And if Taysom doesn't fall apart, that will be his job. And that's just how that goes. And it doesn't matter. Like, Sean has been waiting for Taysom to materialize so that he could tell the rest of the football world, I told you so. If Taysom does that, Sean has the ability to point his finger at you and say, I won playoff games with this guy. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
There is something to be said about, you know, Taysom having the ability to do that. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, and then with that being said, like, even if we don't make the playoffs, well, I think we're going to, but let's say if we don't, but we go,
We win Monday night, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, but if we go, let's say we go 9-8, just by chance we drop one, which we won't, but if we do.
Okay.
Taysom Hill, does that then change his direction on the team?
If he goes 4-1.
He lost Dallas.
Yeah.
He lost Dallas, he wins the Jets, he beats the Bucks, he beats Miami, loses to Atlanta, beats Carolina, we go 9-8. He's now 4-2 to end the season.
Yeah. That changes everything. If Taysom loses, Taysom, put it this way, Taysom is rabbit in 8 Mile right now. He's got no room for error. He's got to win out. Like, he's got to win out. You know what I mean? And it sounds hilarious because the reference of a white rapper and a white quarterback and all this other stuff. But I'm being real. Like, that's what it is. Taysom can't make any mistakes. Taysom's got to be perfect. And, you know, if he's perfect, I put it this way. If Taysom goes 5-0 in these last 5 and we get to the playoffs, I seriously think Taysom gets a look next year at quarterback. I think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I think if he plays well in the playoff game, even if we lose, I think that bodes well for him. And I think that he has the leg up in the quarterback battle. Going forward, because if you're looking at just wins and losses, if he wins these 5, what's his record going to be? It'll be 5-1. Mm-hmm. He's 5-1. With Jameis was 5-2.
And last year he was 4-1.
4-1. No, 3-1. 3-1. 3-1. He played 4 games.
He'll be 8-2 then.
So, you know, if he's able to do that, and then Sean wants to, you know, artificially change the way that we do our offense and turn it more into a Baltimore Ravens style offense, that might be what we got. Put it this way. I told you a long time ago, Justin. I told you, I think it was like September. I have no idea what to expect from this team this year. The 2021 team, I've got no idea. And for me, it's so much fun. Because every week I'm going into it and I'm like, was it fun to lose 5 in a row? No, that wasn't fun at all. But every week I had no idea what to expect. The only week I told you that I knew what to expect was the Buffalo week. You know, like, I just knew we weren't gonna, that there's just no way we can win that game. Like, again, I would have been there for it, but I just don't see how we could have. So I'm watching these guys now and I'm thinking to myself about next year. We have a lot of questions at a lot of positions. What is your idea about what we're going to be doing at wide receiver?
Receiver, I think there's so much unknown with Mike and sort of like what has to happen with Mike. Like the weird injury situation, the delayed surgeries, all this, like, you know, these weird vibes from tweets he's sending out and when he's, you know, put that message out there about shutting it down for the season. There is no, like, you know, who dat or nothing. Like, there's no,
yeah,
like, connection to the team with symbolism through word, mm-hmm. right? There's just, mm-hmm. it was all like very vague, very general speak, and just talking about being in front of, you know, the best fans in the best sport in the world or whatever he mentioned, and didn't say anything about the Saints or Louisiana or nothing.
Yeah.
So very ominous. I don't know if that's, you know, his way of saying, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to play for this team again. I'm going to keep figuring out ways to get paid but not play. I don't know what's going on. But it, without Mike, like, our receiving core obviously is, let's say, you know, 22nd overall in the league. Just throwing a number out there. Like, we're not the worst. We're also not near the top half of the best.
I think we're bottom three.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I was trying to be an optimist here, but...
Yeah, no, right now, right, the receiving core as constructed, we're bottom three. Mm-hmm. Our best wide receiver right now is an undrafted free agent that has got way too much on his shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. And he looked good last night. Mark was looking really good. And mm-hmm. obviously Deontay is huge, too.
Well, he's tiny. He's 5'6", yeah, but...
not physically speaking, but huge in terms of what he can do and the different ways you can use him, right? Like,
yeah.
And his confidence has grown so much this year, I think, too.
And we get him back. We get him back after Miami.
Yeah, that's
fresh, amazing. Fresh, yeah. Fresh legs.
Deontay is always nice.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, so Traquan will be likely out unless you can get him on the cheap.
Traquan will be free. He'll be free. Yeah.
And then we're even like losing a guy that we kind of had to rely on for a lot of our past few seasons here as a second guy to us. So. I think we're going to have to either hit a home run in the draft, and we have to take a receiver first, like in the first round this coming up season.
We'll do that draft. We'll do that podcast later. Is yeah. Quan Baker a bust? Like, is he just too stupid to get on the field? Because the kid's talented. He must be the dumbest guy alive.
South Alabama, I'm not sure what it takes to get into that college, but...
Well, I'm just saying, like, this guy seems like he must be just, like, stuck on stupid because... Like, at the end of the day, we are hemorrhaging, you know, like, weak receivers everywhere on the field at wide receiver, and we can't get this guy on the field? Like, for a game? But you know what's going to happen now? Now that I cut him up, he's going to play the Atlanta game, and he's going to be the player of the game.
Hopefully. Speak it into existence. But, yeah, little Jordan Humphrey, also undrafted out of Texas, and, like, you know...
Deontay, little Jordan, yeah.
Big.
Yeah.
You know, big time, like, big body receiver, can play well when he's given opportunities, but, like, you can't rely on him. Like, we don't have anyone that we can say, I'm going to get the ball to you 10 times today, and you're going to catch 9 of them for 95 yards and a touchdown guaranteed. You know, like, we don't have one of those guys. It really sucks looking at what we could have had. And OBJ doing well in LA was bound to happen, obviously. It really sucks we didn't get a chance to have, you know, a guy like OBJ who could have had a revival he's having in LA in New Orleans. I think obviously if they hit a home run in the draft, and then we have to go free agency, go hard at somebody who's going to be available.
Allen Robinson.
I don't have the list in front of me.
Allen yeah. Robinson. Allen Robinson and DJ Chark, you bring them both in. You give one of them,
yeah.
You give one of them like a backloaded deal. You know what I mean? Where you're like, you're gonna get paid in year three, but your money's mm-hmm. guaranteed. Come and be a part of this, and then you have Deontay and Callaway as your 4-5, and Traquan as your 6, and then you're like, we are stocked at wide receiver.
Yeah, and doesn't it suck though that like. This has been years and years of a problem for us. Like, think back, like when you had to go get Brandon Marshall, and like,
yeah.
we got Dez, and Dez, fortunately, tore the Achilles. But like, Dez was well past his prime.
He's washed. That,
but we were still pumped to get him because he was, not now, but even when we had him 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm saying he was
tore
just,
his Achilles that
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
Like we were pumped to get him because he was a name. He was a receiver that we've watched produce in prime time on. You know, in Dallas for so many years, and we all drafted him in fantasy, and he was awesome, awesome, awesome. And then the fact that we brought him in and he didn't get a chance to, like, actually play a game for us really sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the receiver conundrum we've been in for years on that. It's not just, like, new. This has been I would say as far back as like since Sean's been here, we've had to always ground choke receivers. But no, listen, Drew turned the guys that we got.
Fair enough. I was just saying, like, Lance Moore, Devery Henderson, like those guys, like I was a big fan of those guys. Willie Snead even. You know, like I was 1,000%. A big fan. I was a big fan of those guys and the way that they played. David Patton, you know what I mean? Like there was a bunch of guys that played on those rosters that I was like, I was all for. Even Brandon Coleman.
How many non-Saints fans could tell us our top 10 receivers in the past 15 years or so?
They'll know Colson. That'd be about it.
Colston, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
And Mike.
Yeah.
That's all they know, man. Like, and it sucks because, well, it doesn't suck. It's amazing that we had such a successful run with these regular dudes who became great with the scheme and the quarterback and the coach that they had.
Okay, I came up with a game. You ready to play?
Yeah.
I just came up with a game as you're talking.
Okay, let's do it.
We're going to name Saints tight ends, and we're going to go back and forth playing tennis. It's called Tennis Tight End Game. So we're going to name Saints tight ends until one of us can't name any more tight ends. I'll start. Ernie Conwell.
Yeah. Darnell Dinkins.
Boo Williams.
Jimmy Graham.
You dirty bastard. The kid from the Colts. What was the name? The kid from the Colts. We just had him.
I'm giving you an ace here. Kobe Fleener.
Kobe Fleener. There you go. Kobe Fleener.
Let's go Ryan Griffin.
Nick Vanette.
Let's go with, Adam Troutman.
Ryan Griffin.
Jeremy
Shockey? Is that what you said? Because you cut out there. Jeremy Shockey. Okay. Oh, what was that guy's name? The ginger. He was like part ginger. He had freckles. Game, set, match. I lose. What was that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about? Number 80? It was 80 before Jimmy Graham. He had freckles. He's a light-skinned black dude. Oh, my God. My brain went dead.
But, we missed David Thomas is coming up next.
David Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, and then we also
His last Ben Watson. No, it's his name started with a B. I think. I gotta go in here. Okay, let's do Saints running backs.
Why do I think? Yeah.
Let's do Saints running backs. Are you ready? Alvin Kamara.
Okay, gotta go Pierre Thomas.
I gotta go Mike Bell.
I'm going to go with Kyrie Robinson.
I'm going to go Chris Ivory.
Mark Ingram.
Dwayne Washington.
Deuce.
Reggie Bush.
Let's go with... oh, damn. Hold on.
Game over. Nah, it's over. I won. It's 1-1. We had Fred McCaffrey in there. You could have went any fullback. You could have Mike Carney. You missed
John Kuhn for a bit there.
Kuhn. Okay, this is killing me. I gotta figure this out here. What year? Here we go. It would have been 2014, I think. When I say his name, you're gonna be like, oh yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. I can't imagine this guy.
Ben Watson and Jimmy Graham. Oh, I can't remember his name. Billy Miller. I didn't even find it yet, but I just remembered it. It was Billy Miller. Do you remember Billy Miller? Billy Miller,
yeah.
That's who it was. It was Billy Miller. And I swear to God, it just came to me in my head. I'm not looking at anything right now. I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it yet. But Billy Miller came to me.
That's hilarious. At first, he said ginger with freckles. Like, oh. Blake Griffin? Wait a minute.
And we forgot the biggest one. Fake Jimmy Graham. Josh Hill. So I called Josh Hill fake Jimmy Graham because when Josh Hill got touchdowns and I had Jimmy Graham in fantasy, I would cheer and be like, Jimmy, and then I realized it wasn't Jimmy because they look so similar.
Man. Every major moment Joe was a part of.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a lot of fun. Anyway, so let's get back into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah,
I'll let you go first. Tell me your predictions of the way the season's going to end up here.
All right, we're going to host Miami, obviously, Monday Night Football in the Dome. Our home record this year, our true home record, not Green Bay game withstanding, is atrocious.
And have we lost three?
Sad that it's so bad.
We lost three at home? We lost
four, man.
We lost Dallas. Four. We lost Atlanta. We lost the Giants.
Buffalo.
Oh, we lost four. So we're 1-4? 1-4 in the Dome?
One. No.
We haven't won in the Dome yet?
I think we're 2-4.
No, we haven't. Four. We haven't won in the Dome. Because you only get eight games. We get eight games in the Dome. We beat the Packers in Jacksonville. So that's seven games in the Dome. We have four losses in the Dome. That's five. We have two more left in the Dome. That's seven. So we only have one more game in the Dome. Dang.
Yeah. So who do we beat then? Hold on. We beat somebody in the Dome. Hold on. Come on.
We lost Carolina in Carolina. Oh, we beat Tampa. Yes. We beat Tampa in the Dome.
Oh yeah. That's right. Halloween night.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're 1-4 in the Dome, man.
That Jameis injury really killed us.
When has Sean ever not been 5 wins in the Dome?
It's a never.
Obviously the 7-9 seasons, I guess.
I bet you we still won most of our games in the Dome that year.
He's never been under 500 though, for sure.
In the Dome, I doubt it.
Oh my god. So like, thank God we get a Monday Night Football game, because Monday Night Football always seems to go well in the Dome for us.
Yeah.
So you
think we're gonna beat Miami?
Yeah, I think we win, and I think we win handily.
Okay, so then we go to Atlanta the week after. What do you think?
I feel like we will not get swept by Atlanta this year.
Okay, so that's a dub.
And
so
the fact that Taysom beat them twice last year in 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and they're considerably worse this year.
That was Taysom's first ever win. At home. That was Taysom's first win. Yeah. It was against Atlanta.
Yeah.
In the Georgia Dome.
I think we go to Atlanta, we win that. And then, Carolina mailed it in last week. You can tell they're done.
They're done.
They don't care anymore.
Yeah, they're done. They're done, 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 they, done, done.
You got rid of Joe Brady. They have no quarterback. Like, P.J. Walker, Cam Newton, doesn't matter who's back there now.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, so that should be a W in the Dome for sure, obviously, too. And if that's a playoff spot game, then we might just roll them, like,
yeah,
complete roll. And because we lost in week three to them too,
yeah,
and we got hit by COVID and stuff, it's just like it's gonna be,
it's everything. The stars are aligning for the Saints, and I don't want to get too excited because that'd say get your heart broken. But I put a reference out on Twitter, and I said, the Saints is like being in a domestic relationship. You know what I mean, like a domestic abuse relationship. You tell your friends, you know what, I'm going to take a break from this person. I think I'm done, but I'm going to take a break. So you say to the person, you know what, I'm done with you. And then right when you're about to say that, like right when you're about to say it, you got your words all mustered up, you're ready to go, you practiced. The person comes and goes, yeah, I bought us a trip to Hawaii. You down? It's paid for. Let's go. And you're like, maybe it could get better. You know, literally, that's what the Tampa Bay game was yesterday. It was like, well, maybe it could get better. That was a trip to Hawaii last night. You know, when Tampa Bay got beat 9-0, you're like, a trip to Hawaii sounds nice. It's -37 outside today. Okay, I'll give it another shot. And that's where we're at right now, Saints fans, is that, you know, us diehards, we're going to cheer for them regardless. You know, the 7-9 seasons, you and I were screaming just as loud as the 13-3 seasons. Mm-hmm. And nothing ever changes for us. But I think the Fairweather fan was ready to pack it in. And they, like, literally, it's like the Homer Simpson meme. where he's going into the bush and coming back out. Like, you can see a lot of Saints fans, you know, coming back out of the bush right now being like, well, maybe we're going to be okay. Because there's a strong possibility right now the Saints are going to go, at the very worst, 9-8. By the way, I push my bet in Vegas if they go 9-8 and I get back my $150. But they might go 10-7 and I might get the best of both worlds. And what a beat that is for Vegas for me to go 10-7 and the Saints go over to the 9 projected wins that they had. And if they go 10-7, I don't think there's one team in the NFL, minus the Dallas Cowboys, that wants to play the Saints team. No. Because as much as it pains me to admit it, the only team that really gives me a, I don't want to play them, you know, like I really don't want to play them, is the Cowboys, because they're just so loaded with game-breaking players of all different types of talent on both sides of the ball. Their defensive line is just as scary, if not more impactful than ours. They have the defensive player of the year in Micah Parsons on their team. Their wide receiver core, like, they have four guys that could start on most teams. You know what I mean? At two positions. And then they have two really good tight ends. They have a good quarterback. The offensive line is solid. Tony Pollard might be the best backup running back in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? So, like, they got a lot of talent on that team. So, do I want to play them? That's my least favorite option. But getting into the playoffs, Taysom getting a chance at a team that he played poorly, you know what I mean? And he ran for 100 yards, but he played poorly and had four interceptions. That might not be the worst thing in the world. He might be, like, super jacked up and ready to go. So, I agree with you on the way that the season's going to go. I think we do finish 10-7. I really, really do. Who is your favorite team to play in the playoffs? If you got one wish, they're going to finish the 2 seed. Who do you want to play in the first round?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, 100%. And here's what I want. Here's what I want. So we would have to go to Green Bay in that situation, obviously.
Yeah.
For the next round. That, I don't like that. I do like it because it's outdoors. I feel like outdoors are okay. But here's the thing that I want to happen. If, let's say, we went to Tampa and we would win that game again, because now there's no Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is erased. He's gone.
Yeah.
Marshawn takes him away every single time. I don't care about Mike Evans at all. No Chris Godwin. Their second best receiver is now Scotty Miller. I feel like we can lock him up too. It's okay. So Tampa, and then just the revenge factor of playoffs and 1-4 against the Saints is a buck and all these things, and I feel like that game is fine for me. So I really hope that they finish in 2, and they should, because their schedule is soft as the cupcake. So then we go to Green Bay. That's a scary game because of Green Bay's, you know, the aura around Lambeau and Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs and all these
things. Devontae Adams is the thing that scares me
when they get going.
Are they getting Jair Alexander back?
I think so, man. And then, yeah, like, their corners are decent too. Their safeties are, like, Savage is good. Like, they
Amos, yeah.
They're a good team, man. Like, they're 11-3 for a reason.
AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones are both really good too.
See, that's tough, man. So if we went to Lambeau and we took them down, we're riding an all-time confidence high. Dallas does terrify me. What I would love to happen is this, and this is just now, like, fantasizing. San Francisco plays Dallas. I feel like San Francisco can beat Dallas. And then we could beat San Francisco if we had to.
Yeah. They're like, put it this way. With our defense, I don't think there's one team that we can't beat. We match up really well against the Rams. We match up really well against the Bucks, and we match up better against the Cowboys and the Packers than we do with the Cardinals. And we match up well against the Niners. I think the Cardinals are the only team we don't match up well with, because we don't match up well with quarterbacks that can run. Mm-hmm. You know, but quarterbacks that are immobile, that play in the pocket, our defensive line will eat up. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the one thing I'm praying for. I don't care who we play, Justin. I don't care who we play. I just want a healthy-ish roster. Let us get Deontay Harris back. Let us keep all of our offensive guys healthy. let us get our bookends back in Armstead and Ramczyk, and let's let the defense stay healthy. Like right now, if we get healthy right now, we don't get hit with COVID, and we're able to like make this little run here, that will be vindication for what we've had to put up through with for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks. Can I also talk about something that happened in that Tampa game that really pissed me off? One of my favorite Saints played god awful. He just played bad. Quan Alexander played bad. Mm-hmm. He wasn't good. He missed tackles. Like, he missed multiple tackles, not one tackle. He missed multiple tackles. And, like, in a game that tight, you cannot be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't miss tackles like that. You got it. Like, I get it. He's a good pass coverage linebacker. At some point in time, you got to be able to tackle still. You're doing all that jumping around, all that cheering, all the hand signals. Like get your hands dirty and make a tackle. And I get it. He's coming off of an injury and all that stuff. But, like, we're in week 16 now, man. You can't have guys running in front of you and you just completely whiff. I'm sorry. Like, if Pete Werner does that as a rookie, I'll live with it. But Quan Alexander, you've been in this league too damn long. You cannot be missing tackles on Cameron Brate. No. Give me a break. Like, you missed one on Travis Kelce, all right, I ain't gonna eat your lunch for that. You missed one on Mark Andrews, all right, I ain't gonna eat your lunch for that. But Cameron Brate? Like, you better put his ass back into, like, you know, 3 hours ago. You can't be missing those tackles. I thought he was the down. Him and Malcolm Jenkins were my two duds of that defense yesterday. And I know Malcolm had a couple plays, but Malcolm got roasted a bunch. And then he got the flag on third down. Just like Troutman. Malcolm Jenkins and Troutman. Troutman was my dud. That ball's got to get caught. You know, Taysom put that ball in a good spot. You got to catch that ball. So, it is what it is. Anyways, I had to vent that out. That was pissing me off.
That's fair. I hear that for sure. Quan, that's a guy that, you know, we're always excited for every Sunday when you see him play too. So it's a bit deflating to see him not step up when everyone else around him did. But thankfully they did that to, you know, withstand him not doing what he does usually. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Okay, can we give a shout out first of all to PJ Williams this year?
Ooh, $2 million. Is that the best $2 million contract the Saints have ever had?
Absolutely, PJ Williams.
Actually, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's the second best. It's the second best. I just thought of the best. He who shall not be named. I think he was two. I think he was 2 million. I think he was 2 million. Yeah. Actually, I think he was exactly 2 million because I think it was something like, for every interception, it was $250,000. They were laughing at it. Yeah, I think he was 2 million. He's sitting in jail. He's sitting in jail right now. Just wondering what could have been. Just wondering what could have been.
That's crazy. Hey, listen. Okay, he was like, we're working for the network, wearing pinstripe suits on the daily.
Yo, just looking like Skeletor. Skeletor.
Like a million dollar smile on the guy.
Yeah, he had that skinny face where he looked like it was a skeleton with skin.
Yeah. Damn. What a disaster.
Like, 42, I'm not going to lie to you, was one of my favorite players on that team.
Yeah.
And he was an awful, awful human being.
Yeah, his jersey is never coming off the rack in the closet, but I'm never throwing it out either.
I'll never throw it away. You can never. If someone tries to take that from me, I will fight that tooth and nail. I won't tell you why I'm fighting you, but don't you ever put your hands on my D sharp jersey. I will fight you. That's my jersey.
Don't fight him. Just pop a pill in their mouth.
Then nah. Oh, it's so wrong, but it's so funny. My God. Nah, he's such an awful human being. Anyways.
So shout out to PJ. PJ.
Yeah, shout out to PJ.
Yes. So, and hey, listen, we kind of talked about eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, too, man. You know?
You like
the
tweet?
We didn't take Tom Brady down. Because we don't play like that, but we took his number one weapon and receiver away from him.
You know what would be karma? And this is just like, you know me. I like to create scenarios. You know, that's kind of my thing. Here's a scenario for you. Saints 10-7 need to travel to Tampa Bay for the opening wild card weekend. Tampa Bay has a COVID outbreak. Tom Brady and Antonio Brown and Ryan Jensen all test positive for COVID. All have to sit out the playoff game. Three human beings that deserve punishment for the way that they behave. The Saints sack Kyle Trask 17 times for a playoff record. 17 sacks. Cam Jordan sets the playoff record with 6 sacks in a game. And Alvin Kamara catches 3 touchdowns. Now that sounds like Fantasyland. And also, if that ever happens, we will timestamp this podcast and send that into ESPN and be like, called it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
But wouldn't that be amazing, though? Like, if the Bucks got caught with a bit of, like, COVID or bad luck, and then...
Some bad luck. Like, they're old. Did you hear yet last night their O-line has been together all but one game?
Yep. Wasn't it all but one snap?
No, one game.
Okay, I thought it was all but one snap, and I was like, that's crazy.
Can I just, like, something that I might be, like, stereotyping names here, but I never thought Ali Marpet looked that way.
What do you mean?
I never knew how he looked. I always heard the name Ali Marpet. I never saw him before until last night when they did, like, the O-line intros or whatever. And
so what did you think he looked like?
What's Abhi Khan? Abhi Khan. For those of you who don't know, it's a former bomber. You know, it's a shawarma place in Winnipeg up here now. But
so you didn't think you didn't think he looked like a offensive lineman that played at Wisconsin and eats lots of corn?
No, Ali, really, Ali? Come on, Marpet? And he's good. What? Come on.
Your reaction is just so genuine. It's just amazing.
I didn't.
The Vanilla Thriller is like, you're confusing me. His name is Jamal. How is he white?
Listen, my nickname. Okay, now here's a story you're gonna laugh at. Listen to this. My nickname. I had a couple of nicknames in junior high. One of my nicknames was Jamal. Can you believe? You can believe that?
No, I can't. I actually can't believe that. That one doesn't make any sense.
No, I know. I know. And I had the backwards hat. I wore football jerseys at school, and that was unlike all anybody that in my school would do. And just that was so they named me Jamal.
You know, it'd be nice if PJ Williams shouted out Raphael Bush and said, "I'm Raphael Bush, but just better."
Yeah.
Because that's what PJ Williams is for us right now. He's a hard hitting safety that can play the dime and just like just gets it. He's just so good.
He makes so many plays. Like I can think of so many plays he's made.
He's got two game
burned a lot.
Yeah, he's got two game clinching interceptions. Right?
I still see him running to the end zone with White in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Like
that was
white jersey in Minnesota.
That was good. That was in Minnesota. That was prime time. That was prime time. That pick six.
Yeah, that was a Thursday night game, I think.
Yeah, but like, yeah, he's been phenomenal this year. I know we got off track there, but he's been phenomenal this year. He's laid a lot of hits. He's made a couple interceptions. When he's got his opportunity to get interceptions, he's made those opportunities count. And I think that's a big thing. Like, you know, lots of guys drop those. He's been able to keep his hands on them. And yeah, man, what a great investment by Mickey, and what a great decision for him to stay, you know, because he was part of that Brady fumble. Just so you know, like Cam punched the ball out, but PJ had his hands in there, so like PJ and Cam hit Brady simultaneously, and that ball popped out. So I think PJ could have got credited for the forced fumble if they didn't want to credit Cam. So I don't know, man. I think we're in really good shape. I like the way that this year is ending up versus where it was, you know, for the better part of a month. But let's get off the Saints for a second and just talk about, well, it's still talking about the Saints, but we watched that Thursday night game between the Chiefs and the Chargers, right? And we saw Staley, like, literally just not want to win a football game. He was so determined to do it his way that it cost his team the football game. Being like, this is the way we do things. And, you know, it's a new guy, like a younger guy with, like, that old man get off my lawn mentality. And it cost his team a football game and literally cost them a share of the division lead. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they like, but I'm saying they at some point they would have lost the game and Kansas City would have tied. You know, so like, they would have had an opportunity to be in the conversation for that division lead and also in the conversation for the best league in the best record in the AFC come a couple weeks from now. Mm-hmm. Instead, they turned around and he was just like, I dug his feet in the sand and said, I'm not moving. This is what we're doing. And they refused to kick field goals. Because analytics has said this is the highest percentage of winning, but there's no feeling to analytics. Like, you don't have the analytics that can't tell you, like, the tempo of a game and momentum and how guys are feeling and what guys on the other side of the line. You know what I mean? Like, analytics can't tell you that the nose tackle has been absolutely eating your center alive, so you're not getting an inch. You know what I mean? Like, if you try to run in the A gap, you're getting stuffed. It, like, analytics can't give you that stuff. And coaches are starting to, like, really, like, stop paying attention to the game and just going to the chart. And you see that somewhat in Baltimore with Harbaugh, but at least Harbaugh has some feel for the game. He doesn't just rely on it. Like, he doesn't just, like, no, that's what we're doing. There's sometimes where Harbaugh brings Justin Tucker out and he kicks a field goal. And I was really, really happy. We were on the phone. You and I were on the phone during the Saints game. And I said, If he goes for this right now, I'm going to lose my mind. Because 3 points in this game is going to be crucial. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I guess I could. You know, like, you were kind of on the fence. And I'm like, mm-hmm. No, there's no fence here. 3 points is going to be crucial. And for all the fans out there, Justin will vouch for me. I said this game was going to be 9-3 for the Saints, and then something weird was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I was damn close. So I knew that points were going to be absolutely monumental in this game. And if he would have went for it and we didn't get it, what does that do for us? That just gives Tampa Bay's offense some momentum. You know, they feel good. The defense gets some momentum. They stopped us, you know? So where are you on the, I guess, the status of the league, the state of the league? Where are you with that?
I'm a traditionalist, so I like football the way it was meant to be played, and
take
I like
the points. Look, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always take the points kind of guy. Like when Mike Tomlin goes for two on the first touchdown of the game, often I don't agree with that. Like, I don't see what the point in that is. And he does that almost every time they score first. He usually goes for two.
Yeah.
And then with John Harbaugh, like, obviously Huntley was feeling it in the fourth quarter, and just like against Cleveland, was doing the same thing where he can make the comeback happen. But I would trust my kicker, who can kick 60-yard field goals on the regular, to on a coin flip, essentially, you know, go into overtime, hopefully let the coin land the way it has to land for me to get the ball first. And now, you know, on a touchback, move the ball basically 30 yards, which Huntley was doing well between the 20s anyway, and then let Justin Tucker kick the ball, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're up by three in overtime, and now the pressure's on Green Bay, and those fans in Baltimore are no one to get loud. Like, that's a really good home field advantage too. So even with Harbaugh going for two, I didn't agree with it. I knew that if they scored, it obviously up by one, but Aaron Rodgers has a timeout and 42 seconds left, and then all they need now is to go 30 yards, and he can make that happen in 25 seconds.
Yeah. Easy,
right? Like,
yeah.
Especially with Davante Adams and no secondary in Baltimore, like, they're gonna lose anyway by two instead of by one. So I feel like John Harbaugh should have taken, you know, Tucker into consideration and gone for the coin flip, and you lose either way if Green Bay gets the ball, right? But
and you give your defense a chance. You give your defense a chance to stop them. You know what I mean? And like, you just get another opportunity. It was just. It was. I think. I get it, man. Like, if it's a division game and, like, you got a bunch of injuries and you're just like, ugh, I don't want to go into overtime with this. I get that. But they were moving the ball, like you said, between the 20s. Like, just get a stop, get to overtime. Huntley could get that win for you. You know? And putting it all on one play from the 2-yard line, it just seems really irresponsible to me.
Yeah. Especially the way that the AFC North is so tightly packed right now. Like,
yeah.
Cleveland today had a chance to be.
What a gut punch. What a gut punch.
AFC North.
Yeah.
And they would be the fourth seed right now.
Yeah.
And now they're 12th in the AFC.
That's crazy. The AFC is tough, yeah. Man. The AFC is really. It's going to. The AFC is going to go down to week 18, 3:30. You know, like 3:30.
It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be. There's going to be a game at 3:30 that's going to decide. Who gets in? Can we just shout out Blake Gillikin? You know, yes. Not Gillikin, Gillikin.
Yes.
This guy had, what do you have, 8 or 9 punts in that game, and 7 or 8 of them were amazing. And then the dance after the roughing the punter to seal the game, that was just amazing. And then how about we shout out Brett Maher?
Yep.
Because guess what? He's missed one kick, and it was from 56 yards in the dome against Dallas. That was the one that he missed. He's made every other kick. So can we give this guy his roses right now and just say thank you? Cause
yeah, we need to.
I'm not gonna lie to you, man. When my man went up to kick the 40-plus yarder to put us up 9, I didn't watch the live kick. I turned my head away. I don't watch the kicks live. I don't watch them live anymore. I turned my head away, and I just listened. And then when they said, it's in, I looked at the screen, I was like, yeah.
and the second one was totally going.
Yeah, it drew in. Right. It drew in like a golf shot.
Yeah, then he bent it in nicely. But, man, like, I got shout that guy out for sure, too, because that was our downfall was going to come down to kicking. And not to say that it's not going to in the end, but we were losing games because of that. Like
100%. 100%. 100%. Is he going to be our kicker? Think about this before you answer. Is he going to be our kicker for the rest of the year?
Will Lutz is not coming back.
Will Lutz is not walking that door, but so he's our kicker for the rest of the year, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so and then the last thing here, and then I'm going to get you out of here because we've been going too long here. Everybody's talking about Spider-Man. You know, you hear everybody talking about Spider-Man. I get it. I like Spider-Man too. Can we talk about the Kingsman movie coming out? Can we just talk about the Kingsman? I don't know if you're down with that, but like, I'm a huge fan of that series. And like, the Kingsman is like the most G-est stuff in the world. Like, there's this like crew that goes out and saves the world, and they're all like gentlemen, and they wear dope ass suits, and they got gadgets like James Bond, and they're funny, and they like say some shit to you that make you feel real stupid before they kill you. It's wicked. That's coming up. That's coming on a Wednesday. And I'm so excited awesome. To go and see it.
That's so good, man.
That's perfect. Okay, man. So, before we dip. So, you have us going to Tampa Bay. Week 1 of the playoffs. We beat Tampa Bay. We sweep them. That's 3-0. That means we're 5-1 against Brady in Tampa. For the next couple of years, they just shut up. They keep on preaching the fact that they got a Super Bowl. Okay, great. Good job. We got one too. And then second round, we go to Green Bay. We complete the sweep of Green Bay. We beat them twice. Alvin Kamara rushes him and Taysom Hill and Mark Ingram combined for 250 yards rushing because that's the only way we win that game. So we win that game. I know you're laughing. I don't know what you're laughing about. If Mark gets 60, Alvin gets 120, that's 180. That means Taysom has to get 70. Yeah, I could see Taysom got 100 against Dallas. If Taysom gets 70, sign me up for that. I'm in for that. Anyways, yeah. I'm not listening to any of your sarcasm and your little snicker there. I'm taking this down. Okay, so we beat Green Bay. We beat Tampa. And now we're playing the NFC Championship. Are we playing the Dallas Cowboys or the LA Rams?
I think it might be San Fran, to be honest. But
ooh. Spoiler alert.
I feel like they're caught fire a little bit here now. They're going to keep on rolling with that running game. And
but you know Debo's about to get hurt. Debo gets hurt all the time.
Yeah. But if it's Rams and Cowboys, I feel like the Rams defense can make it tough for Dallas. So we get then we go to LA for the NFC.
In SoFi? You're telling me we get to go to a nice confines of SoFi?
Oh. Where there's no actual fan base.
And Matthew Stafford, who loves to throw interceptions. That offensive line that's aging in LA and giving up a ton of pressures. Okay, so we go to LA. I'm not going to tell you that we're going to kill them, but we're going to kill them. So we kill LA, and now we're going to the Super Bowl. Now you have your choice. In the Super Bowl, you have your choice. So we stay in SoFi. We just stay there.
For 2 weeks.
We just stay. Why not? Bring the family down. The Saints just buy out a hotel and just say, hey, we're going to stay here. You know, Gail's like, you guys made the Super Bowl. Whatever you'd like. You have your choice between four opponents. These are four realistic opponents. Rematch against the Buffalo Bills. Rematch against the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry this time. Rematch against the New England Patriots. Or, and here's a weird one, and I just think this could happen. First ever meeting, but also a rematch from 2009, the Indianapolis Colts with Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor.
I was thinking the same thing.
If we get Taysom Hill versus Carson Wentz in a Super Bowl, like, A, I'm so happy because the NFL is so mad. That is the opposite of what the NFL wants.
Yeah, they want a Mahomes Rodgers.
Oh,
that's all they're going to. Referees are going to make that happen.
I'm telling you, Kansas City's not getting to the Super Bowl. I will lay so many bets on that. They're a good team. I'm not going to knock them. That defense is so bad. They can't. Again, in the playoffs, a team is just going to keep Mahomes off the field. And they're just going to run. If they played Indy, if they played Derrick Henry-led Titans, if they play New England, those three teams are just going to keep Mahomes off the field. So unless Mahomes has like a godly performance where he's just throwing like daggers, I could be dead wrong. And if I'm wrong, egg on my face.
So rank your top, the four you just mentioned, rank them as to
who do I want to play, or who is going to be there?
No, go from like 4 to 1, like 4, I don't want to play that team.
Okay.
3, I would like to play, but I don't want to lose to this team, 2, etc.
Okay. 4, I don't want to play New England. I don't like the fact that their defense is so damn variable. Like, they can do so many things. They do so much on that defense. They can just change it up on you at the drop of a dime. And I think J.C. Jackson is one of the top three cornerbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't want New England. The second least team that I don't want. Buffalo. I don't want Indy. I know it's a story. But Darius Leonard and Jonathan Taylor, those are two grown men on either side of the football that could take over a game. And I think Jonathan Taylor is scarier than Derrick Henry because Jonathan Taylor catches the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Then I would take tennis. Then it's a flip. I don't care about the other two. I'm in for either of those.
Tennessee or Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm in for either of those. I think Buffalo's shown a lot of warts. I think they got us in a bad situation where we had everybody out, so there was just no way. But I think us healthy, and they have no Tre'Davious White, I think we completely stymie their run. I guess maybe I'd want Tennessee more than I'd want Buffalo because Josh Allen, but I still think that we do a really good job. And it would be awesome to punch Stephon Diggs in the mouth and send him home. I'll never forget him throwing the helmet down on the ground. That's an image in my head. It's like walking in on somebody.
And anytime I see, like these highlights, like, you know, top 10 plays of the decade, or
yeah,
and that, like that one comes up, like I honestly run through the room where it's possible. whatever comes first, and I make sure that no one tells me what's happening on the screen. And my kids know too. They're like, if it comes on, if they see Case Keenum backing up to throw a ball, they know Case Keenum now because of that. That they're not allowed to have the TV on anymore when Daddy's around.
Well, here, I'll tell you something that you might not know about me, and then you can tell some of me I don't know about you, and then we'll get out of here on this. I have never, let me preface this. So the Saints versus the Rams in the playoffs, after the no call, and then after Drew threw the interception in overtime, I have never, ever seen the kick from Zuerlein. I've never seen it. I've never ever seen it. If I ever see them like about to show it, I will literally close my eyes. I've never ever seen it, and I refuse to ever watch that kick happen. As it was happening, I walked out of the room. I had a house full of people. I had like 25 people in my house. Everybody's cheering with me because they're like, they know I'm the diehard Saints fan. So everybody's like, this is the year. And everybody was downstairs. And I went into the bathroom in my basement, and I sat in the bathtub in my clothes, just sitting in the bathtub. And everybody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I just don't care. I'm not. And everybody's like, I'm watching everybody's face from the bathroom as the kick went in, and everybody just went, oh. And I just stayed. I think I stayed in there for about an hour. So I've never seen a kick. So what about you? What's something that I don't know about you with the Saints?
Trying to think while you're talking, but I was listening to your story too, so I couldn't think that clearly. And I was thinking about my own reaction, because I had people over my house too. I was watching the game, and then all of a sudden, I mean, I walked out into my dining room area, and I just like, I listened. I didn't even watch it. I watched the replay afterwards, but I didn't listen to the actual live kick. It's disgusting. Don't ever look at it in your life.
I'll never watch.
Bridesmaids when Melissa McCarthy is on the sink and Bridesmaids. Yeah. Look away. Okay, so that's an amazing scene in the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
But let me think here. Something about the Saints you don't know about me that I. I don't know, man. I got nothing, buddy.
That's fair. I'm
not going to make up anything.
That's here, but, fair. If you ever think of something, let me know.
Hey, listen, I change jerseys based on the flow of the game.
I do that. Boy, I'm with.
Oh, I change jerseys almost.
Yeah. Who? Here's a better question: who doesn't? If you don't, you're not a real Saints fan.
Yeah, I hope you do. Oh.
I don't know how you watched the game last night, but when the Saints were on offense, I stood to the left side of my coffee table, and I watched every offensive snap from that spot. If it was a bad offensive series, I took two steps back. And as it got better, I would take another step forward. And I played that game. Defensive series, I sat on the left cushion where all my jerseys are, under my Saints blanket, holding my Taysom jersey in my right hand and my Cameron Jordan jersey in my left hand while I was wearing my Marcus Davenport jersey. Oh, you're wondering where the Marshawn Lattimore jersey was? It was behind my back. Yeah, that's how that happens in this household.
As soon as Cam got his first sack, I took off my Marshawn jersey, put on Cam's jersey, and I started pounding my chest and doing levels. And it was like, my children are like, what are you doing, Dad? Why do you do levels every time he does levels? You are not the level guy. And then when he was 99 and a half, I told Alex, my son, like, you know, listen, he needs one more half a sack just to help get a sack for 100 on Tom Brady. How awesome is that, that his first sack was against Cam Newton in his career, and his 100th is against Tom Brady? It's like amazing. Two of the quarterbacks I arguably hate the most in my whole entire life.
It's amazing.
And Cam does too. You know Cam hates both of them too.
Yeah, send him wine.
And it's number one and number 100. So yeah. Good job by Cam.
Yeah, I always tell people I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. Just a little stitious. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, man. This has been a lot of fun. So I didn't even talk about this. I'm going to throw this on my Twitter there, but I put this whole scene out where I said, hear me out. And when I did it, I wanted to let Saints fans know, like, don't give up on this year. Like, when you're a fan of something, you can't just quit when things seem like they're a little bit bleak. Like, that's when you got to double down, and you got to really back your team, because when it does turn around, you're like, I've been there, you know, and like, I was with you the whole time, versus being like, you know, things are bleak, oh, I'm done. And then all of a sudden your team turns around, you're like, yeah, well, no, now you look like a lame. You know, like, you're either there or you're not. Like, make a choice. So I did this Hear Me Out segment, and it has gotten over 2,500 likes between the two Hear Me Out 1 and Hear Me Out 2. So I put a Hear Me Out 3, I put that one out today, so we'll see what kind of traction that gets. But for all the people that are listening to this podcast for the first time from the Hear Me Out series, I'm going to keep on doing that. I'm going to do the Hear Me Out. I'm going to do it. I'll go until the Saints lose. And then I might even do one after. You know what I mean? I might just keep doing it. Who cares? I'll do it in the off season. Hear me out. The Saints should draft who? You know what I mean? And just have some fun with it. But it's been pretty cool that people were able to do that and follow up and comment and retweet and like it. And we really appreciate that, because this podcast, we get $0. We do this just because we love the squad. We're in Canada. You know, we're diehard Saints fans. I would say we love the Saints more than most people in Louisiana. And yeah, man, that's why we rock over here. And, you know, Vanilla Thrilla and Ryan over here on the podcast is killing it. So hopefully you enjoyed it and got to hang out with us for a little bit. But Saints this week, final score prediction, Justin. What's the final score prediction?
I feel like it's going to be 23-13 Saints.
I swear to God, in my head, I said 24-13. Like, there's no lies. Yeah, 24-13 was what I said. So, the Price is Right rules, I guess.
So, hit the under. And
yeah, hit the under and hit the over and the cover. Under and the cover.
You're going 3 touchdowns and a field goal. I'm going 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals. Brett Maher keeps it right. Keeps it
straight. Oh no, you got confused, sir. I got 3 touchdowns and 2 two-point converts. That's what I got.
Oh man, I'm playing Brandon Staley's game here.
Oh man, lots of fun. All right, man. Well, like we always do, we went long today, but we had a lot of fun. We ain't been back on here in a minute. You know, life has got us. We're both teachers and got kids and. You know, we don't, like I said, we don't make a penny off this. So if we can't do it, we can't do it. But when we get on here, we have a great time. So, Saints fans, keep it simple, keep it sexy. Life is good. You got your health. Your Saints on the playoff picture. It's week 16. We lost the Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, and we're still in the playoff picture with a couple weeks left to go. And it's looking promising. So it's exciting. Justin, any last words?
Only two. Who dat?
Who dat, my man?